Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Chof Beis. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a specially marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 5 lines from the top of Daf Chof Beis. The Gemara opens with a quote from the Mishnah, Hakelev Shenotal, and we saw in the Mishnah, back on the facing Daf, on Daf Chof Aleph Omid Beis, a dog was described as taking a loaf with hot coals, live coals still attached to it, and it went to a godish, took it to a pile of grains, and the dog ate the loaf and caused the igniting of the pile of grains, and the payment rate was featured there in the Mishnah. On the side of our Gemara, you can see we have a topic heading, and a note indicating that this topic continues till Daf Chof Gimel Amud Aleph. And it reads as follows: Posha velo shomar al eish, v'holach v'sarach. A person was irresponsible, was not caring for a fire, and the fire went and burnt. Number one, Reb Yochanan says that the action of the fire is eish isho, a person's fire, mishum chitzov, is like a person shooting arrows. So it's considered an act of nezek done by the person. And Reish Lakish says, isho mishum mamono, that the fire that one lights and then proceeds to damage is like one's possession going and doing damage. For example, a person owns an animal, and the animal goes and does damage. We say that it's a person's mamon that is doing the damage. As far as what is the difference between classifying something as a person shooting arrows and causing damage versus a person's animal going and causing damage, in the course of our sugya, in the course of our Gemara discussion, these points will come up. So we turn to the Gemara. Itmar, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, we're reading from the 6th line from the top, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, isho mishum chitzov, a person who was irresponsible and didn't guard his live coals, and damage ensued, that is considered a person as if he shot arrows. The Tosfos clarifies regarding this. Isho mishum chitzov. Tosfos, you see in the middle of the narrow lines of the Tosfos commentary, lo shiyavir ba'atzmo hoesh. We're not talking about a person who takes a torch and lights someone's item, causing damage. Ela kol mokim sheposha v'lo shoma gachalosoi chitzov ninu. But rather, any circumstance where a person was negligent, was irresponsible, and didn't watch his live coals, that is considered his chitzav, his arrows. That's literally. Now the Gemara continues, Reish Lakish Omar, isho mishum mamono. A person under those circumstances who was irresponsible with regard to his coals, it's as if his ox or his pit caused damage. Omar, we ask here, Reish Lakish, my time alo Omar Krab Yochanan. And you can see the squiggle underline here and the next line as well. There, the focus will be on Rabbi Yochanan. Why did he not say like Reish Lakish? But in the meantime, the Gemara asks Reish Lakish, why is it that he did not adopt Rabbi Yochanan's approach? Omar Loch, chitzav mikoichei koazli. Shot arrows are a function of the person's force. He his energy or his force caused the arrow to go forth and damage. High, low, mikocha kozil. The conflagration that is caused by the coals is not a function of the person's own force. And hence, Reish Lakish does not want to categorize fire like one's arrows. Rabbi Yochanan, my time alomer Reish Lakish, and Rabbi Yochanan, in classifying Isha Mishum Chitzav, why did he not say, like Rabbi Yochanan, that it's Mamono? Omar Loch, Rabbi Yochanan will answer you, Mamono is be Mamosha. Mamon, a person's possessions, person's items, have substance to them. Ha les be Mamosha. Fire has no substance to it. The Gemara now continues, and we have a marking scheme, and you'll see on the side, under our Mivna, under our structural note, the triangle represents Kushos al Reish Lakish. We'll also see a double underline used in a couple of lines for highlighting Hadgosha Shema's highlighting names. The squiggle underline that you'll see from time to time will highlight the expression Bishlama Lamanda Omar, and then as opposed to the other Mandomar, whereby we'll be saying things will work out well according to the opinion that says. And you'll notice, if you glance in the Gemara, the opening Bishlam meaning things work out well, you will see from time to time, each time that the Gemara presents a triangle following the Tanaic source that you can see framed, Bishlam Olamad Omar Isho Mishum Chitzov. The Gemara will be of the opinion, at each opening stage as we go on in the Gemara, that things seem to work out better according to the opinion of Isho Mishum Chitzov, Rabbi Yochanan's stated opinion, that fire is compared to one's shooting arrows. Before going further, I just want to repeat, as we saw in our Mivneh heading, these triangles are Kushyos al Reish Lakish. They all represent questions on Reish Lakish. Hence, our comment that introducing these sources appears Bishlam Olamand Omar, Isha Mishum Chitzav, things would appear to work better for Rabbi Yochanan's approach, as we said. So now, let's get into the scheme of things. Tanan. A quote from our Mishnah, HaKelev Shenota Harora, etc. The Mishnah described the dog taking the coal and conflagration ensued. Bishlamo Lamandomar Isho Mishum Chitzav. Things work out well according to that approach. Chitzav the Kelev who? Fire in that case, being that the dog took the coals and placed it on a godish, it's considered literally the arrows shot by the dog. And we look at Rashi, chitzav de kelevein da havile tsuros. It's something that's emitted from the dog, as opposed to chitzav of a person. Here, the dog is responsible for the continued burning of the fire. Hilkoch mishalim chatzi nezek. Therefore, in the Mishnah, there was a half payment made for the damage that those coals caused. Half damage, chatzi nezek, is characteristic of tsuros, which is the description in one word of force emitted by an animal causing damage. The Odom Hamadlik, Mishum Hochi Chayav Nezek Sholem, Shein Din Tsuros Ba'odom. And with that analysis in mind, we understand why, when a person is responsible for the ensuing fire, the full payment rate is made. Why? Because the concept of Tsuros doesn't apply to a person. Tsuros, of course, is a topic that we've discussed quite extensively since the earlier part of our Mesechta. So if you're a first-time listener, the concept of Tsuros might sound strange or unusual. That requires one to be familiar with all of our previous sugyas. So the payment of chatzi nezek that was referred to in the Mishnah makes sense according to the analysis that it's chitzov. Hence, we can call this chitzov the kelev, and we understand the chatzi nezek payment. Elo lemanda omar isho mishum mamono. According to the analysis of Reish Lakish, that the continued fire burning is like one's mamon doing damage. Hai eish lav mamono debal kelevhu. The fire is not owned by the owner of the dog. Rashi says, lav mamono debal kelevhu, elo debal charora. It's the fire of the one who owned the loaf. And hence the Mishnah, which indicates that the owner of the dog is making the payments, doesn't make sense. We can't understand the Mishnah with this analysis of Isho Mishum Mamono. Omar Loch Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish answers, what we're talking about here in the Mishnah is the dog threw the loaf with the coals. With regard to the loss of the loaf, so the dog owner pays full damage. The al mokoim Gacheles Mishalem Chatzi Nezek, and the very spot where the coals landed, the owner of the dog will pay Chatzi Nezek, because in throwing the coals, the owner of the dog is guilty for a tsruros payment. Just like when one's animal walks along and casts pebbles, which is the literal example of tsuros, the tsuros were not owned by the cow owner. Nevertheless, the cow owner must pay for the damages that the tsuros, that the pebbles cause. Likewise over here, the dog owner, true, he doesn't own the coals, but his dog, by throwing the coals and landing at a particular point causing damage, at the point that they landed and the damage was caused, for that spot he pays the tsuros rate, half payment. However, the al godish kula potter, but for the continued conflagration, the owner of the dog is exempt. Rashi says, the al godish kule potter, di isho mishum amono. Fire burning, the continued burning of fire, is considered one's mamon doing the damage. V'hai lav mamonahu. The fire is not owned by the dog owner. Usuros leko lememar. We can't describe the continued burning of the fire as tsuros. Domi mokom gacheles ve'elich dolkesh me'elov. From the point that the gacheles, that the coal landed, and onwards, in other words, beyond the initial landing point, the fire burnt on its own. That's not a function of the force caused by the dog. And with this in mind, we understand why the Mishnah, why the Reish Lakish, that is, set up the case of Adya Duy, throwing it or tossing it. Di ancha im hacharora ki urche lo motzi lemisni chatzi nezek amidi. Because if the dog simply placed it down without the tossing or throwing action, we would have no basis for a half nezek payment, which the Mishnah indicates. Why not? Da amokom gacheles chayav nezek sholem du urche hulito hacharora im hagacheles. Because in that case, where the dog had taken the loaf in its snout, in its mouth, and carried it and just placed it down at a particular point, that's normal dog behavior. Normal dog behavior, I would imagine the intent here is in the course of eating the loaf. And therefore, since it's not just an emission of force, but it's the dog itself placing the coal down, and it's, and all of that's within its normal behavior, there it's nezek shalem. It's not the force of the dog. In a case where it just placed it down at a particular point and burnt that spot, but that's the dog itself doing the damage, and hence it cannot be classified as tsuros, and it can't be classified as karen either because of the fact that this is normal behavior. We continue in the Gemara, v'reish Reb Yochanan, and now we turn back to Reb Yochanan. How does he describe the behavior of the dog? Reb Yochanan says, Isho mishum chitzav. Reb Yochanan, de'ancho anuchi. The dog, in fact, placed it down, just like we described a moment before when we read the Rashi. But Reb Yochanan, with his approach of Isho mishum chitzav, the dog took the loaf to a spot where there was a pile of grain, placed the loaf down with the burning coals. It ate the loaf, and the coals started burning. Al charora v'al mokoim gacheles mashalim nezek sholem. For the consumption of the loaf and the spot upon which the dog placed down the coals, you pay full damages. As we said, that's not considered tsuros. V'al hagodish mashalim chatzi nezek. The continuation of the burning, that, because Rabbi Yochanan says it's isho mishum chitzav, it's chitzav of the dog. It's like the dog shot arrows, or to make it more, let's say, halachic, it's considered the tsuros of the dog. And tsuros pays half payment. So there's a major difference between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan in what will the outcome being regarding the continued burning of the goddess beyond the initial spot. It's also, as far as the initial spot, we also saw a difference because Reish Lakish classified that as tsuros because he set up the case of the dog throwing the coals. Rabbi Yochanan says on the initial spot, because the dog placed it down, you'll be paying full damages. That's not tsuros. Toshma. Number two, a second question raised against Reish Lakish. Notice we have a long marking. Toshma gomo ton pishton v'ovar b'rishus harabim. A camel that's laden with flax stalks, and the camel is walking through a public domain. Nifnasa pishton l'tocha chanus. Now these flax stalks or flax reeds are quite long. So the end of these flax stalks entered while the camel was in the public thoroughfare. Its length was such that it entered the store of that was located along this thoroughfare, and it caught fire. Vidalku benero shel chenvoni. And it caught fire on a candle that was in the store. And now you have a burning flax. And as the camel continues walking, Fehidlik es habira. And it ignites a fire in a bira. A bira is a, Rashi says, bayis gadol, a large house. Well, a large house goes up in flames. The result is Baal Gomel Chayav. The owner of the camel must bear responsibility. Hinia Chenvoni Nero Mibachutz. If the store owner positioned his candle outside, then that's not a place to keep a fire, and he did so. Chenvoni Chayav. The store owner is held responsible for the fire. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Bener Hanukkah Potter. If the candle spoken of placed outside was a Hanukkah candle, then he would be exempt. It's a mitzvah to place Hanukkah candles in a outside in a Rishus HaRabim to manifest the miracle of Hanukkah. That's the Tanaic source. The source mentioned that if the bira, the house, was put on fire, the camel owner is chayav. So Bishlam Olamand Omar Isho Mishum Chitzov, according to Rabbi Yochanan's approach, Chitzov de Gomel Hu. It's considered the chetz, the arrows of the camel. And therefore, the Baal HaGomel is chayav, the owner of the camel, is responsible for the damage that his camel causes through his chitzav. That fire is considered the possession of the owner of the fire. Hai eish lav mamono de Baal Gomel Hu. The fire here is not the fire of the camel owner, it's the fire of the store owner. And yet the Tanaic source taught that the Baal Gomel is chayav, the camel owner has to pay. But why should he pay for damage caused by fire that's not his? Omar loch Reish Lakish. Hocha b'mayaskinon. Reish Lakish, in explaining why is the Baal Gomel chayav for the fire damage, b'misach seches kol habiro kulo. Rashi, right across from here, says, "V'masach seches es kol habira shagomol oiver b'fnei kol habira." The camel with the burning flax is walking alongside the house and is moving the flax alongside the house, "V'masach sechoi," and is burning it as it's walking along. The vadai have a kulo kemokom gacheles. In a case like that, where it's not a fire starting at one point and continues in burning on its own, but rather the camel is moving the flax with its burning tip along the house, so that every spot is like the initial spot of the gacheles. And we saw before, Reish Lakish said that on Mokom Gacheles, that is certainly the responsibility of the Baal HaGomel, the owner of the animal that's putting the coal down at a particular point. So each spot, in this case where the animal is walking along with the flax burning the house in this form, each spot is called Mokom Gacheles. Aval ba'almo sho'esh holechas me'leo lav chitzov hein. However, if it's a case of a fire starting in one spot and continues burning on its own, that is not analyzed by Reish. It's not to be analyzed, says Reish Lakish, as arrows shot. The Gemara continues with a question. Ihachi, if we're to accept this analysis, Amos Seifa. You continue reading the Seifa of the source we had, and we saw above, and you'll notice we noted Seifa in between the lines, and you'll notice it says, Im hinia chenvoni neiro mibachutz, chenvoni chayav. If the store owner placed the candle outside his store, so the store owner is chayav, is guilty for the continued burning. Well, vi b'mesach seches amai chayav. If it's a case of misach seches where the animal is moving the flame along as itself is moving, then why would the store owner be chayav? The store owner simply put his candle out at this particular point. The camel continued in its walking, moving the fire along at each point along that bira. It doesn't make sense then that the store owner should be held responsible. The Gemara answers b'she'omda. The camel stopped. It did. It stood in its spot at the spot that the flax initially caught fire on the candle that was put outside. And Rashi says the sichsech es kol abira, the camel was moving its body without walking, but turning its body from side to side. The flax, because of their extensive length, was able to light the house, set the house afire with the camel's own direct body action, as opposed to a continued burning of the fire on its own. Now, marking wise, we have a bracketed section. The Gemara within the brackets raises a question on this answer, but following the brackets, the answer appears of how to understand omda, where the Gemara says it was omda lahatil meimeha. The animal froze in its spot, so to speak. It stood still because it had to urinate. But before we get to that, we have this bracketed section that says, I don't understand this answer. Omda. V'sichsicha, the animal that stood still and continued turning its body from side to side, thereby causing the tip of the flax to light the fire, to set the house afire. Well, koshikein dechenvani pateru baal gomol chayav. Well, under circumstances like that, all the more so, the store owner, even though he put his candle outside, he should be exempt. The owner of the camel should be held guilty. If he sees that the flax caught fire, he has to move his camel along, not to leave it standing there. He should move it along so that the animal doesn't cause the house to go on fire. In other words, the circumstance of an animal standing still with the flax causing on fire just creates all the more responsibility on the part of the camel owner to move the animal along. Omar Rav Huna Bar Manoach, Mishmei Rav Ika, Hocha B'Mayaskinan. Here, what we are talking about, the case over here, is Kigon Sha'omda Lahatil Meimeo. The animal stood still in order to urinate, and as such, the owner couldn't move the animal along. It's beyond his power, and it's beyond his control to move a urinating camel along. Now, as far as the Mishnah, as far as the Tanaic source and the payment scale is concerned, Reisha Baal Gomel Chayav, in the first case featured where the flax entered the store and caught fire, the owner of the camel is Chayav, the lo eboyele la fushe b'teina. He should not have loaded up his camel with such a long and large burden. So much so that the end would go into someone's store. Seifa, the continuation of the source where we saw the store owner is Chayav. Seifa chenvoni Chayav delo iboyale la'anuche neiro mi'evroi. He should not have put his candle outside. Toshma. Again, a question will be raised on Reish Lakish. Notice that we have a long marking. Hamadlik es hagodish. Person sets a fire, sets a heap of grains on fire. V'hoya gedi kofus lo ve'evet somuch lo. V'nisraf imo. And there was a goat that was tied up next to this pile of grain, and there was a slave that was standing next to the pile, and they went up in flames. V'nisraf imo. Chayav, the owner, the one who lit the fire, has to compensate for the burning of the grains and for the death of the goat. As far as the slave is concerned, why did he continue standing there? He should have run away. Eved kofus lo v'gdi somuch lo v'nisrafimo. If we change the circumstances and there was a slave that was tied up, he was restrained next to this burning pile of grain, and there was a gedi, a goat, that was simply standing there, and they all went up in flames. Potter, there is no financial restitution that need be made, because the one who lit the fire is chayav for a capital offense, namely the death of the slave. The slave couldn't release himself, and when you have an offender that is guilty of a serious crime, carrying with it a serious penalty, we say, we give him, apply to him the more serious punishment. Kom lei bedarabo mine is the phrase you see in rabbinic literature, and that greater punishment, we'll say, is all he gets. He's put to death, and as a result, no payment need be made. Bishlamo lamadomer isho mishum chitzov. I understand the ruling in this source according to Rabbi Yochanan's approach, mishum hachi potter. Because of that, in the seifa, there is exemption. There is the person lit the fire, and the fire continued burning, and it killed someone. It's like the person shot an arrow. Ella, and when a person shoots an arrow and kills someone, so he is guilty of the capital offense, and hence exemption from payments, based on the principle of kom lei bedraba mine. He is established with the rabo mine, the greater punishment, we'll say include within it all other punishments, and he doesn't have, and therefore doesn't have to pay. Ella leman diomar isho mishum mamono. But if you say that fire damage is considered a person's mamon doing the damage, am I potter? Why is the one who lit the fire considered exempt? Ilu kotal ture avdo. If a person's ox, which is his mamon, killed a slave. Hochi nami dolo mechayev, would you say he is not obligated to offer compensation? Of course he has to pay. If a person's animal kills a slave, there is a payment that has to be made. So why, if isho mishum mamono, as Reish Lakish says, why is there a payment exemption in the seifa of this source? Omar loch Rav Shimon ben Lakish. So Reish Lakish answers, hocha b'may askinon kishahitzis begufoy shel eved. The one who lit the fire on the body of the slave himself. Dekom lei b'derabo mine. That's not considered mamon hamazik. That's the person himself directly killed the slave. It wasn't the continued burning of the fire that reached the slave, but it's the person placing the fire directly on the slave. He murdered the slave, and therefore kom lei b'derabanei, he's guilty of a capital offense, and that's all he must suffer. No payment necessary. Well, Gemara asks, "E hachi, if that's the explanation, my lemeimra, what need is there for a Tanaic source to teach me something so obvious?" The Gemara answers, "Lo tzricha, it is necessary to teach this source because begedi dechad ve'eved dechad, the goat in the above story was owned by someone other than the owner of the slave." That's the Gedi was owned by Mr. 1, and the Eved was owned by Mr. 2. And nevertheless, even though it's two separate owners, we nevertheless say there's no payment that needs to be made to the owner of the goat that burnt in the resultant fire. Now, that's a novel point. In other words, if the Gemara didn't tell me this, I would have thought that the reason that there is exemption from payment is because the victim was the same owner of both. So the offender, in view of this particular victim, is paying the price with his own life by death penalty, and therefore the money payment need not be made. However, if it was two separate owners, there was room for thinking that, well, the death penalty is because of his offense with regard to the slave owner. What about the goat owner, who is a separate person? Shouldn't he have to pay him? So the chiddush, the novel point here, is that our focus is on the offender, and the offender is paying with his life. Toshma. Note again, we have a long marking, a question raised against Reish Lakish. Hashalechas ha-be'ira b'yad cheresh sheita v'katan. Potter midine adam v'chayav b'dine shamayim. Someone sent a be'ira. A be'ira, in this case, is a reference to, let's say, a fire, a source of fire. I don't want to become too detailed because we're going to see a more detailed explanation as we go through the Gemara. But he's entrusting a fire source in the hands of an incompetent, whether it be a deaf mute, an imbecile, or a minor, and damage happens. There is exemption for any payment to be made. That's potter midine adam, as far as human court obligations are concerned. There is no prosecution. However, chayav b'dinei shamayim, the one who gave the fire to these inepts, is held responsible by way of heaven. Bishlamo lemandamar isho mishum chitzav, according to Rabbi Yochanan's approach, chitzav de cheresh hu. It's the arrows of the incompetent. And an incompetent cannot be held responsible in a court of law. If you take Reish Lakish's approach, that fire is considered your possession, well, imagine someone gave his ox to one of these inepts. Would you say that the owner of the ox is not responsible for the damage that his animal causes just because he gave it to an inept? That's not reason for exemption of the animal owner. So the Gemara answers, Ha itmar Allah, Omar Reish Lakish, Mishmei de Chizkiya. We're using again the use of the double underline to highlight the names. Reish Lakish will tell you, it was explained by Reish Lakish in the name of Chizkiah. Lo shanu, this exemption in the source, elikishemosa lo gacheles, v'li ba. And here's the reason why earlier we didn't explain exactly what be'ira was. We described it as a source of fire. Reish Lakish tells you that the source was dealing with a case of a person giving a coal to the inept, and the inept, he fanned it, libos, he blew on it, and that enlivened the coal, enabling it to burn. And for that reason, the owner of the fire, the owner of the coal in this particular case, is not responsible. The Rashi says, "Gacheles v'liba hacheresh delo domi l'shar." The circumstances of a inept fanning the coal is not similar to a person giving his ox to the inept. The shor mezuman lahazik. The shor, the ox, is as it is prone to causing damage. Aval ha de gacheles, but giving a coal, a hot coal, but without. That which I gave to the inept, the inept is the one that caused the coal to become capable of doing damage. So that all that the individual, that the person did, was give a dormant coal to the. I say dormant meaning it hasn't been fanned yet. That's what he gave to the inept. Let's continue in the Gemara. Avol, mosar lo shalheves chayav. However, if a qualified person gave to an inept individual a burning torch, the fire was already present, so then the owner of the fire is responsible. My taima, why? Bori hezeka, Rashi says, Bori hezeka, mizuman hezeko, vahavik kishoro. There, like we just saw in the Rashi before, there the hezek is already the source of the damage, the capacity for damage is already present. The i.e., the burning torch. For Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Afilu shall have as potter. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Reish Lakish and says that even if you gave a burning torch to an inept, the owner of the fire, the owner of the torch, would be exempt. Kosovar tzavso decheresh kogorem, because the tzavso literally is the holding. Rashi on Daf Teso Medbeis explained the word tzavso as achizoso. It was his. It's the inept holding and walking while holding the torch that caused the damage. So as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, when you have fire and you're dealing with an inept, under what circumstances would the owner of the fire be held responsible? So he says in the Gemara, Lo mechayev ad shemosar le gavzo silta ushroga. The owner of the fire would not be considered responsible until he would have entrusted with the cheresh, or shoita of a cut, one of these inepts. Gavza, Rashi says, is dry wood. Silta, Rashi says, are twigs. And a shraga. Shraga is a flame. So that you have there the conflagration would spread because you provided all of the materials for the fire to spread. Without the cheresh having to walk along to create any fire damage, the fire would have spread on its own, and you entrusted all of that to the inept, the gavza silta v'shraga. So then you, the qualified person, is held responsible. We have a long point. Omar Rava, Kro Masnisa Misaya Leila Rabbi Yochanan. We will present a verse, a Torah pasuk, and a Tanaic source that support Rabbi Yochanan's approach. The diamond that you see highlights Kro and Masnisa. These support Reish Rabbi Yochanan that Isha Mishum Chitzav. We have a pasuk that the Gemara will refer to, Shmos Perucha Beis Pasuk Hei. We've included the pasuk on the side of the Gemara. It reads, before we read the Gemara, look at the side on the margin. Ki seitze esh umotzo kaitzim v'necha golish o hakoma oy hasodeh shalem yishalem hamavir sabeira. The pasuk describes a fire going forth and burning thorns, and the fire consumes a pile of grain or standing grains or a field. So the one who lit the fire has to pay. Now the Gemara. Kra, what about this pasuk supports Rabbi Yochanan? Dichtiv ki seitze esh. The word teitze me'atzma. It indicates the fire burning on its own. The pasuk says, Yishalem hamavir es habeira. And the continuation of the pasuk says, the one who lit the fire, hamavir, is, we'll say, human-centered, proactive. That's mavir, proactive behavior on the part of the person. So he is the one that has to pay. So it's interesting. The Gemara points out, this is the proof that the fire's actual burning was the burning on its own, the continued burning on its own. It's not that the person was holding a torch and applying the fire to each spot of the that which was damaged, but rather the person lit the fire in one spot and it continued burning on its own, and nevertheless, it's the pasuk is saying it's as if he was burning every spot of the area damaged, every spot of the pile of grain, every spot in the field that the pasuk describes. So what are we in effect saying? That the fire that you lit at one spot and it's continued burning is considered as if you were shooting arrows, you were lighting the fire all along, even though it's the fire that was burning on its own. That's Mishum Chitzav. Masnisa Desanya. We look at a Tanaic source, and you'll see how this too supports the Chitzav analysis. Disanya, the source says Pasach Hakasuv Benizke. We continue at the top of Daf Chof Gimel Benizke Momono. The pasuk opens up with a person's momon doing damage. The pasuk said Ki Seitze Eish. It's describing a fire burning on its own. The Siem Benizke Gufo, and the same pasuk concludes with a description of the person himself doing the damage by saying Mavir. Mavir is a scent, is grammatically speaking, is human centered. He who is lighting the fire. So how do you explain the legal and grammatical structure of this pasuk? On the one hand, it opens up with describing the fire as a person's momo. It's not the person himself, but it's something that is considered like the possession of the person. And then the end of the pasuk describes the fire as the person himself doing the damage. So lomar loch, this tells us isho mishum chitzav, and here we dashed underline that which appears in a Taneig source saying exactly what Rabbi Yochanan, who was an Amora, had said. So here we have a Taneig source supporting Rabbi Yochanan. We have on the side of the Gemara a tatnose, a subtopic heading, which reads lamand omar isho mishum chitzav hechi mishkachas tomun shepoter be'esh. According to the analysis of fire being like one's arrows, how are we to understand the exemption for fire that burns something that is hidden or enclosed, or an item that's burnt while enclosed in another item? Tomun literally means hidden away, and there's a we'll say there's a scriptural basis for this. We'll call this unique, special exemption that applies to fire damage. It's called tomun. So we turn to the Gemara, and we have a long marking that's a long marking featuring Rava's name. Omar Rava, Kashio Le Labaye. Abaye had a difficulty. Lamando Omar Isho Mishum Chitzav. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that the continued burning of a fire is like a person shooting arrows, Tomun Be'esh De Poter Rachmona Hechi Mishkachas Law, the Torah exemption of fire damaging an item that's enclosed or buried away or hidden away. Why should there be such an exemption? If isho mishum chitzav, if fire is considered like a person doing the damage, so a person who damages something, even if it happens to be buried away, a person is chayav. Is chayav for whatever he damages. So if a person, imagine a person shot an arrow into a pile of hay, and in the pile of hay there was a sleeping goat. The person who shot the arrow, killing that the other fellow's goat, even though it was hidden away under a pile of hay, he would be obligated to pay to compensate. V'nicho le, and Rashi says umishani lo hochi, and his question was answered. Kagon shenofla deleka leoisoi chotzer, venofla goder shelo machmas deleka. A fire started in a particular courtyard, and after the fire had started burning, there was a fence that would have otherwise prevented the fire from spreading beyond that courtyard, but the fence fell down. And it fell down not as a result of the fire, but for some other reason. That's v'nofla goder shelo machmas deleka. V'holcha v'hidlika v'zika b'chotzer acheres. The fire continued burning. Now that the fence fell, the fire left the chotzer and did damage in a neighbor's courtyard. D'hasam kolu le chitzav. Under those circumstances, the analysis of chitzav is no longer relevant. Why is that? Because when the fire was started, and we're going to parallel the starting of the fire to, we'll say, the shooting of arrows. The arrows that would have been shot under those circumstances would have simply landed, would have banged into the wall, wouldn't have gone beyond. So there's no more arrow-type damage. So that when the fire was started, the fire was incapable of doing damage in the arrow capacity, in the shot arrow capacity. Rashi says, "The kolu lo chitzav shebishal shehidli koesh." When he lit the fire, "Tahainu zrikas chetz." That's the time of the shooting of the arrow. "Lo hoya roy lahazik b'chotzer acheretz." It wasn't fit to do damage in the neighboring chotzer. Let's continue in the Gemara. "I hachi," if there was a fence, "leinyan golu nami kolu le chitzav." So regarding even things that are exposed, there is no more chitzav type damage. The damage of the fire really was would not have happened at the outset. So why is there nevertheless responsibility for that which is exposed? Ela leman the Omar, ela leman the Islay Isho, I should say leman the Islay Mishum Chitzav. Rabbi Yochanan, who analyzed fire as shot arrows, Isle nami mishum mamono, ukagon shahoyolo legodra velo godra. He also accepts the analysis of fire being considered your mamon. In other words, that fire has these two aspects to it. It's chitzav and it's also mamon. Therefore, and what were the circumstances? The fence that fell down was under circumstances that the owner of that fire and that courtyard could have rebuilt the fence in the meantime, but he didn't. And as a result of his not rebuilding the fence, the fire went and spread outwards. The Dahasam Shorohu, under those circumstances, the analysis of the fire damage is in Momo terms. It's like his ox did the damage. Velo tofach biape. It's like a person having an ox and not closing the gate in front of it. As a result of that, so there is damage responsibility for that which is exposed, just like when your ox does damage. We have a note on the side that reads as follows. Lochein, begolui, regarding damage of that which is exposed, afalpi shemitzad chitzov yavshul chayvo, even though from the chitzov analysis we can't hold him responsible, because at the time that he lit the fire, the fence was still there, mitzad bomono mechayvin oisoi, as far as the damage caused by the fire, from the momon aspect, we hold him responsible, yigon hecho de b'shas hadloka, as we already explained, when he lit the fire, the fence was still there. Only afterwards it fell down. And he was negligent in not rebuilding that fence in the meantime. However, regarding Tomun, which was the initial point that Abaye had difficulty with, there is exemption. Have a potter. Why? The Beniske Mamon, within the realm of Nizke Mamon, of damage caused by one's mamon, motzinu chilukim. We find distinctions, we find all kinds of subcategories of penalty and analysis, leaving room for this distinction between tomun and goloi, that which is hidden versus that which is exposed. Now, let's turn back to the Gemara. V'chimei achar demandi islei mishum chitzov islei nami mishum amono. If at this point then we're saying that Rabbi Yochanan holds of the chitzov analysis, he also adopts the mamon analysis. My binayu, what is the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? We take a look at the Rashi. V'chimei achar demandi islei mishum chitzov islei nami mishum amono. My binayu. Hechob de gachelis shelo hoisa. where you owned the coal. My iko bein Rabbi Yochanan de mechayev le mishum tarti. What difference is there between Rabbi Yochanan, who says that you can hold someone responsible on two counts, chitzov and mamono, the Reish Lakish do mechayev le elo mishum chada, as opposed to Reish Lakish that says you're held responsible only on the grounds of the mamono analysis. The ha'al korcho hecha de gachel shelo nami pligi. Where you own the coal, we know that there is a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Alma b'isho nami pligi. Not only in coals, but in fire burning as well. They argue, hecho de gachelis shelo, where the coal was yours. Bishlomo ad hashto de shamino mishum chitzov dafka, v'lav mishum amono, uchid amris momon isbe mashosha ha lesbe mashosha iko benayu, hecho de ise momono v'lese chitzov. Ki hach de nofla goder de kolulo chitzov. Up till this point, where we thought that Rabbi Yochanan held only Mishum Chitzov and Rabbi Yochanan only Mishum Amono, so there would have been a point of difference in the very case where a fire started while a fence was still up, and only later the fence fell down, so that we can't hold him responsible on Chitzov. The Laman Domer Mishum Chitzov Dafka Potter. But now that we say that Rabbi Yochanan accepts the Mamon analysis, what's the point of difference? So we turn back to the Gemara. Iga binayu l'chayvoy b'arba dvorim. The point of difference will be, do we hold the owner of the fire responsible for payments that are in addition to basic damage that's caused? When a person does damage, to a fellow man. In such a case, he's held responsible not only for damage, but for four other payments. They're called Tsar, Ripui, Boishes, Sheves, and Boishes. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you will be held responsible for fire damage that is caused to another person. Not only do you have to pay for the nezek, you have to pay these additional payments. The Arba Dvorim is a reference to those additional payments. The Rashi has a discussion concerning the need to pay for boshes, for embarrassment, that we'll leave aside for right now. You can look into the Rashi for further details. But this whole concept of additional payment beyond damage, there's tsar, pain, ripoy, medical expenses, sheves, unemployment, those additional payments are binding only when odom is mazik, when a person is mazik. But when a person's mamon is mazik, when a person's animal or possession causes damage, then only the nezek payment is made, the damage cost is compensated for, but those other payments are not made. Hence, you still have a difference between Rabbi Yochanan, who, in addition to Mamon, says Chitzav, that's essentially saying person doing the damage, versus Reish Lakish, who said Isho Mishum Mamono, it's like a person's animal did the damage, animal or Mamon alone. Hence, obligation to pay nezek, damage payments alone, not the additional payments. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.